up, Internet, and welcome to episode 63 of Radio Radar. I'm Hollander Cooper. Here with me is...
Greg Henniger.
Henry Gilbert.
And Lorenzo Valoria.
We got a packed show. By packed, I mean...
There's only four of us.
But not to worry. We have plenty to talk about on this episode, and then we're going to go back to our desks and work on stuff we can't tell you about because this next 3 weeks are going to be busy.
Holy shit.
Anyway.
Well, boy, Thanksgiving's going to feel so good.
It is, especially when you're having Thanksgiving at my place, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go there.
I'm thinking of making matzo ball soup.
Hmm.
It's the first night of Hanukkah.
That? Oh, that's right,
yeah. That's true.
What happened again
for
matzo
thousands
ball?
Of years?
I think it's made of, like, matzo?
Well, it's unleavened bread. It's one of those unleavened bread the Jews are forced to eat by God.
Yeah, though I will say, and most Jew food is terrible, but... Gefilte fish is garbage.
Yes,
matzo ball soup, delicious when made correctly.
I like their sweet, sweet wine. That's the.
Do they have wine? Do we have wine?
Manischewitz, man. You got to drink sweet wine on the. You can't. It's a part of the. You ever had the Manischewitz on the.
It's
the
blood of Christ. Right?
We're not allowed to have blood of Christ.
What's it? Passover. Manischewitz on Passover.
See, whenever I did Passover, it was with my family and I was under 21, and they'd be like, you can't have wine. And I'd be like, well, do you expect me to do the other bullshit?
I got to wait for Elijah over here, but I can't drink wine.
Can I just sit in this chair? It seems wasteful. But yeah, let's jump into the top seven. The top seven best console generations, written by GamesRadar UK editor David Houghton. I mostly agree with this list, but there's some things near the end that we're going to discuss that I'm not 100% sure if I agree with. I don't staunchly disagree with it, but we'll get to it. I think it's a good list overall. Let's start with number seven, the second console generation, which was the Atari 2600, the Mattel Intellivision, and about 700 other clones of those products.
I think on this, there's been so few console generations that when you have number seven on a top seven best list, that's the worst. That's actually, you can just reverse this list and be like, what's the worst one from seven on down? But yeah, it was just, it's so... You can't go back to that. Maybe this is just my age, but I feel like there's a certain something to 8-bit graphics that's like you're used to, but when you see 2600 or Intellivision or ColecoVision graphics, like they're just
too old.
Hideous.
Yeah.
And there's just no sound and no, like, everything you take for granted. Like, we're in 8-bit games are not there.
Yeah,
in
so what what games from that generation hold up? Pong, Pac-Man.
Yeah, well, Pac-Man's like it was an arcade game. It looked way better than any home console.
Is it just Pong that holds?
Pong,
up?
Adventure, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe
Pitfall. Pitfall.
Maybe Pitfall.
Oh,
which is funny because Pitfall is probably like the most complicated.
Yeah. Combat, the tank one. I'd say that relatively.
There's maybe five games that if you played them now, you wouldn't just start projectile vomiting.
I recently when I did the worst it was the Marvel versus DC feature I did on which company had the best video games. I did the earliest ones was the Atari Spider-Man game and the Atari Superman game, and Spider-Man looks kind of bad, but Superman was one of like the first ever licensed game, and like Superman is just a blue block, a white skin colored block, and a red block, and he floats up and floats down, and then he walks into a rectangle that's supposed to be a telephone booth, and like you just had to tell people, like, well, this is a story. Superman has to grab pieces of a bridge and then turn into Clark Kent and go to the Daily Planet. But there is no way to know that.
I like that telephone booth thing has just been, like, that's just no longer an important part of his story because they aren't those anymore.
Yeah.
Telephone booths.
Yeah.
Don't they have them in London?
They do. They are now porn boxes.
Ooh.
When I was in London, saw plenty of those. They are, like, on the insides. You know how when you go to Vegas, they give you, like, those little cards people out front are, like, handing out cards that are just, like, pictures of naked ladies?
Yeah, like, come to our club.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The inside of every one of those boxes is just wallpapered with them.
Oh.
So they're, like, wanking boxes now. Thank you.
That's how they would. That's what they would call it in the UK.
They would
Rankin
say that.
Buckets.
Yeah.
Well, when we were in Japan, we saw private rooms, like private film watching rooms, reclining chairs, like all those apps.
Free lotion.
Yeah. But why? Yeah. What? No matter how nice the like, if it's like a fancy leather Lazy Boy, like when you're laying back in it, what would you think to yourself? Like, oh, yeah, it's not, like a dude, another guy just masturbated here 30 minutes ago.
You have to imagine that Japan's pretty sanitary, though. They'd probably clean that up.
They're very clean. Yeah, that's
why. They probably have a robot that comes in and just kind of brushes it
they
in.
Good work. Phrasing. Robot comes in.
Yeah, I heard it too.
I got so excited I threw seven jokes back at him.
Maybe they wouldn't invite Americans into that then. They'd be like, oh, you're going to mess it up. You don't know how to keep these booths clean like Japanese.
You don't know the procedure to these jaywalk booths.
So, yeah, Atari.
Yeah.
Atari.
By the way, before we move on, I have to do something that I regret not doing already.
It's the top seven.
Or the top six, rather, because that's how many are left.
I'm glad you remembered.
Number six, which is hilarious that this beats out the seventh generation, the first generation.
I can't hear the blank generation without thinking,
get out.
Engage. Just
don't.
The next generation the next for all generation. Of these.
This is okay. The only time I want to hear about the next generation during this list.
All right.
I'll bring it up.
But the first
time.
Generation.
What's on the list, even? What's
I don't
on, what
know.
Is it?
Well, the Magnavox Odyssey is just, it was a Pong machine. The first generation, well, it's strange the way he's, I feel like he's defining the first generation. This is one accepted definition that the first generation is everything before the Atari 2600. So, Magnavox Odyssey, all these, there were tons of just the Pong machine, like in 1977.
Right. There were so many rip-off Pong machines.
The Christmas toy was just like electronic tennis. Space. Super Pong.
Final frontier. These are the voyages of the
Magnavox Odyssey.
Its continuing mission to explore
Pong clones.
To seek out
other Pong clones. Make Pong clones.
The first generation.
Sorry, Hank.
Yeah. I guess maybe, I forget what Dave's reasoning was for this, but I think it's a more pure generation at least. Like, it's just, you got Pong and they did it well, or you got Asteroids or Space War or whatever they call that one. And,
yeah.
But I mean, it's just so
Space War.
It's cave drawings. Like that's all.
Things
it
start getting cray at number five, the third generation, and that's when the NES and Sega Master System took the scene.
Yeah, this was my generation.
This was the one that I got this one my first birthday. My dad was just like, "Son, who can't hold a controller? I bought you/me this console. Uh-huh. I'm gonna play Mario now."
Yeah, for some reason, I think my older brother had an NES, and that's what got me into video games. I started playing Contra and Mario Brothers and Mario 3. Jeez. Mm. Memories. Yeah.
Duck Hunt,
yeah.
I remember my... Careful. Yeah, I know.
It's like Gay Man Wario.
I went across... Wow, I never thought of that. Anyway. Yeah, my next-door neighbor had an NES, and that was how I was first introduced to it. They were just like... It was 87, I think it was, and they just said, "This is Mario. Look, he jumps around." And I'm like, "You're controlling that? You do that on the TV?"
I'd pay all of my money to see Henry's first experience watching Mario jump.
Like,
he probably pooped his pants.
I was five. I was.
You probably pooped your pants.
Yeah, probably pooped his pants.
I only did that once.
And it was actually E3 2012.
Yeah, that was the last one.
One of my first memories of it is going over my neighbor, who was actually my babysitter, an old Scottish woman named Rosemary, who loved The Legend of Zelda. And she'd be like, "You can play it, but just don't." Because she played it nonstop, but I don't think she knew exactly what she was doing, because I don't think she ever actually like finished it. Mm-hmm. She just played it all the time and explored. And she's like, "Just don't save over my file." And me being like four was just like, "What's up, saving over the file?" And I remember being like, I was felt so bad.
Oh man, and those save files, they could get erased so easily. I remember my brother was like an infant, like learning how to crawl and walk and stuff at the time I was playing Zelda. So I was like completing the game, and he would just walk by and trip on the cord, fall down on his face, and I'd be like, "No." Because it would just reset. It would go send the NES into this like flashing thing.
It would go catatonic.
Yeah, it was very depressing.
Yeah, I think this was a great generation. The Master System was part of it, though it was different in Europe, but in America it was 95% NES, 5% Master System. Like, the Master System basically didn't exist here. But meanwhile, in Europe, like, the NES didn't really catch on.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, its graphics, you know, they have a certain charm to them now, but the pixelated graphics didn't get really better until, you know, into what we accept in retro games now as pixelated graphics.
Yeah.
Until a later generation.
Yeah, and that's not, though, number four on the list. Number four is the fifth console generation, which was the PlayStation, the N64, and the Sega Saturn.
Oh, boy, do I love this generation.
Oh, yeah.
This was the generation, and I think I told this story in the podcast, where my sisters and I wrote a contract to my mother detailing how we were going to share this console, how when certain people came over, the time limits you and your friends could have with it.
Wow.
This long document.
And because your family was crazy rich, you actually got lawyer consultation on that document. It was a formal drafted letter.
I lawyered up.
All your sisters, each of you had your own attorney present at a long boardroom table.
But I remember just taking that document to my mom and being like, we all really, really want this. And she consulted with my dad. Mm-hmm.
And his attorneys.
And the next day we went down to Target and bought the N64. We also got the... What was it? 007?
I wasn't there, bro. GoldenEye?
Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think everything we got had to have four-player content.
Wow, so this is like 2000 then, right? Or 99? Like, if you bought Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Donkey Kong?
Donkey Kong 64? Star Fox?
No.
Racing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Diddy Kong Racing.
That was a great game.
But good Lord, did I put several thousand hours into that N64 after that.
Yeah, I think this was when we all started growing up and we turned into... This was a generation when we were the age that a lot of our readers are now.
Yeah.
And I think, that's a good point. I was actually talking to somebody recently about how, for us... Even though I personally like Wind Waker more, Ocarina of Time was the Zelda that changed my gaming life. Mm. And somebody was like, I'm talking to kids now who are 7 years younger than me, and that's just Twilight Princess for them. Yeah. And it's just that because it's the one you play when you're 13. It's just essentially pop music, except the difference being video games are genuinely getting better over the years.
Yeah, I think this was the generation that I actually went onto the internet to read about games, because, you know, the internet was right there back then.
Yeah.
I think I started reading Nintendo Power at that time, too.
Yeah.
I was in, message boards for the N64 and, looking up GoldenEye. I was as obsessed as I've ever been with anything in trying to get to that motherfucking island in GoldenEye.
Oh, man. Did you ever make it?
Yeah. Game Genie. Game Shark at that time.
Game Shark
let you just go into no clipping mode and you could just go to the island. It was all... You couldn't actually interact with anything. There was a guy there, but it didn't really do anything because that was just supposed to be... there was a boat there originally that you could take there, and then they're like, fuck this.
I remember... Yeah, the internet definitely came into it. I remember reading in magazines about a rumored new Zelda game called Majora's Mask. I'm like, I wonder what the internet has to say about this. If I put into this Alta Vista search Majora's Mask, will I find out, or do I need to check Ask Jeeves on this?
Oh, man.
That's true. Did you ever play Snowboard Kids?
Yes.
Yeah.
The kids with the big noses?
Yeah, the huge noses. This brings me back.
Heartwarming noise.
Oh. It would be just as jolting to your body.
Was there ever a sexier sound?
I mean, when you were logging on to download.
All right, I'm sorry.
So why did that sound have to come out of your computer?
I don't know.
Why?
Why couldn't they have just made it your modem is booting up.
Like they had to attach that sound to the speaker. Yeah. So
you could never secretly get online either. We had the room with the computer was right next to the living room, and I would try and sneak in there late at night and log on. It's like a car alarm.
Well, here's a funny
car alarm related story.
No, but I didn't have that problem. We barely heard that noise in our house because when we got the internet, it was when my father started working for whatever Comcast was called 15 years ago. But so
the cast.
They had just started. Maybe it was still Comcast then. But anyway, they had just started you setting up cable internet. Like, and so we were on cable internet, and like all my friends were like,
privileged
coming
few.
For, yeah. Yeah, for a couple of years, all my friends would just come over to download
music off
music.
Napster.
Yeah, we, like,
your
we
house,
Napster
was a,
house
was a bed of sin.
Yes, exactly. Well, the was pornography was harder to download. Not impossible. Look, guys, everything is a euphemism. All right.
All right, all right.
Well, so who... All right, you had the N64. Our family had everything.
I got a PS1.
Yeah, give me a hard time.
I got a PS1 right when it came out, and I went down to visit my... my cousin lived in Florida, and I went down to visit my cousin, and he had an N64. And while there, I got super into the N64 and just played it nonstop. Because I think I stayed with him for like 3 weeks in the summer.
Nice.
And
I bet your parents loved that.
Oh, it was the best. But like as I got into it, we were like posting on message boards and reading the internet a lot. And I just got I became a super Nintendo fanboy. And I just remember being like, people would be like, the PSX sucks. And I'm like, yeah, I don't even know what that is. It does suck. And then like when I got home, I'm like, that's the PlayStation that I own. Dad, we need to get an N64. And the only reason I was able to get one and convince my dad of it, I'm just like, I want to get an N64. He's like, you already have a console. I'm like, but there are better wrestling games on the N64. My dad and I were big into wrestling. And he was like, oh, yeah, let's do this. And we immediately went out and got one. And I remember very vividly, like, putting my beloved PlayStation in a closet and just never touching it again for the entire generation. Because I was just like, Nintendo fanboy time. It's all over. Goodbye, Sony.
Jeez. First time I played N64, my friend and I, we both didn't have them, but it was already released for like a couple, like 6 months or something. And then we really wanted to play Mario because we were huge into Super Mario Super Mario World on SNES. But we rented it from Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. This might come back. Later in this episode.
Yeah, but we rented consoles from Blockbuster.
I failed with that setup.
You almost made it.
Which is a thing you just can't do anymore.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't do it even in the mid-2000s. Like, it stopped by then. Like, at least the Blockbusters I knew about didn't rent any of the current-gen systems.
Yeah, I only remember them doing that for, like, that time when I was looking
N64
for a console.
Games.
Yeah. I don't remember when or why, but I feel like I rented a video game console at one point. Maybe it was, I rented the N64 before we bought it, but I feel like I rented one, and I don't remember any... I just remember it came in, like, a plastic container.
Yeah.
I remember
really
on
weird.
A Christmas vacation we rented... Or not Christmas vacation. On some family vacation. We rented a Super NES for like 2 days. We did
was it magical?
Just to have it. Well, I mean, just to play something on the trip.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to say about this generation was it was the first time I ever bought, and by bought I mean be given birthday money from parents and grandparents, and then bought it with that a system on launch day, and that was the N64 because my birthday is September 6th. The system came out I think September 26th or 29th, and so I just sat on my that money for 3 weeks and went to the store. It's also when I found out at my local electronics boutique how very little they gave you for Genesis games or any old games. And we like traded in 20
bucks.
Games. And yeah, they're like, well, this takes about $15 off your Mario 64 purchase. Like, wow. Great. Thanks.
I remember I got this game. I got the system and I got Crash Bandicoot. And I remember playing it in my dad's office was like where we had our gaming setup. Mm-hmm. It was just a little shitty TV and a PlayStation. And I remember playing it when my grandparents visited and like calling my grandfather into the room to point out like, look, this is photorealism. Like Crash Bandicoot, like this looks like real life. My grandfather being like, yeah, it totally does. Like,
yeah, it sure does.
Like, I remember so specifically being like, I am essentially looking out the window and seeing an upside down orange triangle with cut off jeans, and that is real life right now.
crazy.
Number three on the list, the seventh generation, aka the one you're currently enjoying, Xbox 360, Wii, and PlayStation 3.
Yeah, right. It's hard.
Big
to,
deal.
It's hard to be nostalgic over the thing that's. Well, I guess
I was thinking about what music to play, and it's just like I don't know what like the Wii.
Well, yeah, there's a current. My
Halo?
Old,
not yet.
My old buddy from Games Radar, Brad. He had a good point about like the game music. So much of the major games just have like a Hans Zimmer type score, just a score that a film would have. Not anything. No, this isn't true of all games, right. But
almost fully orchestrated.
Yeah, which that works for. I think that works for like Uncharted, say, or Halo. But it's like almost every game has it now. You lose a lot of personality that way.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, this generation super huge. In general, this is the generation that, besides maybe the NES generation, where you added the most gamers. I mean, the Wii added what? Like, I mean, the previous generation, what were we talking about before, Henry? It's like the Xbox, like the PS2 sold like 100 million.
Yeah.
But the Xbox and the GameCube both sold like 30.
One was like 30 and one was like 40. I think Xbox did outsell the GameCube. And so. Yeah, it was in this generation, the current one, like, the Nintendo went from third to first, like, overnight almost. The Wii was just
unstoppable.
I remember for a year that it was, the Wii was just sold out everywhere. You couldn't get it if you didn't, like, you had to wait in line for new shipments.
Yeah,
like,
so here's what you got for PlayStation 2, 155 million. That's obviously, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the other two systems, the Xbox, 24 million, the GameCube, 21 million. This generation, you have the Xbox 360 at 80 million, the Wii at 100 million, and the PS3 at 80 million.
Yeah.
And that's not even discussing the fact that the Nintendo DS has sold 150 million, which is sort of tied into this generation, more or less. Like,
yeah.
I mean... Yeah. All three combined, obviously, you have so many more people buying so many more consoles.
Yeah,
And this generation opened it up to a lot of casual people who you want to hate, like hardcore people. Your immediate reaction is like casual folks, but they, you know, you gripe about the ones who you can say, well, they bought Wii Sports and then they went on to play phone games, but there were other people that I'm sure like. Got a taste of real games and kept going, and bought a 360 or PS3.
Probably a lot of them were like
Madden.
Well, no, I was going to say there's a lot of like I know a lot of I guess I'll say girl gamers that were just they didn't want to get into games because there was that boys club mentality and because of playing games on the Wii, it's like, oh wait a minute, and now they're playing Halo and Call of Duty. Like just a lot of people who were sort of I mean that also extends to anyone who was sort of like. Before, I mean, obviously there were plenty of girls that play games and plenty of guys that play games, but there were definitely, like, there's that mentality of games are for guys that was sort of an unearned one. It shouldn't have been cast on games, and the Wii kind of broke down some of those barriers.
Now your grandma plays games.
Yeah, everyone can play. It was almost like it wasn't the fact that the game industry was looking at it that way. It was the fact that, like, adults would be like, well, it's a kid's thing, whatever, and that kind of opened it up.
And then just also throughout this generation, we saw like such advancements in video game storytelling.
Advancements. Wow. Much story.
yes, exactly. Like games like BioShock, Mass Effect, Red Dead Redemption, like they took storytelling, Portal, they took storytelling more seriously, writing and acting and all this stuff, like and world building. Like it all took a whole nother step up. It's hard to imagine like what we thought were groundbreaking in the PS2 era and compare that to how far, like, just BioShock in 2007 advanced things.
And if you go back, going back and playing Beyond Good and Evil, there it was like, you immediately get into, like, that game has an okay job, but a lot of games, like, you start the game and you're immediately fighting in a level. There's no foreplay. There's no easing you into it. Like, I was playing the original Alice, like, and it, like, there's nothing, it's just like, fuck you, fight guys that are cards. And then you go to the new one, and it starts in, like, Victorian London, and you're, like, walking around a burning building, and it's, like, super emotional and cool. And just seeing how far it's jumped, because even when games in the years before tried to up the ante, it just essentially meant there was some dialogue as you sliced up card monsters.
Yep.
So, obviously, pretty big deal.
Tons of advancement. I mean, people could maybe get annoyed at things like horse armor or... Like, they want to blame Call of Duty for dumbing down stuff, but they this was a pretty good generation, I'd say.
Yeah. Moving on to number two on the list, the fourth generation, which is the Super NES, the Mega Drive / Genesis, and the PC Engine.
This was the time when I dropped consoles altogether.
Really?
And became a PC guy.
Holy moly.
Why is that?
Counter-Strike.
Pretty much because a lot of my friends were.
Warcraft?
Counter-Strike was a big one. I didn't play Warcraft. I was big into RTSs, like Age of Empires.
I didn't play Warcraft. More of an RTS guy.
Well, sorry, World of... When I said Warcraft,
I meant Warcraft, a battle of orcs and whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Orcs versus humans.
It's now World of Warcraft. It's
so, yeah, I was sort of with you. This generation, I kind of gravitated towards PC gaming.
Yeah, I was learning how to build my own PCs and just, like, yeah. I don't know, all the land centers were, like, starting to open up. And, yeah, Counter-Strike and Battlefield 1942.
Well, for me, this is the number one generation in my mind. Like, I think the Super NES is still the best console that ever came out. Like, if you look at library and a timeless library,
it's pronounced library.
Library, a timeless library.
Yeah, yeah.
That just
biblioteca.
Its games were advanced from the NES, but they still had that kind of classic style to it. Like, you still had great storytelling and envelope pushing in games like Earthbound and Chrono Trigger. You had, like, just the gameplay mattered most then. And it was just, gameplay got refined about as far as it could go for 2D games there. Like, most, it's very rare now to see any 2D game that isn't just pretending to be Contra or Castlevania from then. Or, well, Castlevania is a bad example. Super Metroid. Ones like that. Like, those advances so much, and I'm talking about Nintendo games, but also the Genesis was a big deal too.
Yeah,
the PC Engine, that's a European thing, so I never had a PC Engine.
Yeah,
so
I had a regular PC.
Yeah, honestly, I thought that's what you meant. I've never heard of the PC Engine.
Yeah, it's what was it? The TurboGrafx here, or was that a different thing? I apologize.
It may have been the TurboGrafx,
but yeah, it's just such a strong generation. I can get that, you know, I miss polygons too. Like, polygons are pretty great, but I like the colors. I don't know. It just feels realist to me.
Yeah, there's
realist
still,
gameplay.
There's still a reason why people make games in 16-bit.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So, I mean, because it looks awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. And number one on the list of the best console generations, this sound should make Henry and I both cry.
Hey, I love GameCube too.
I know.
What was that sound?
The GameCube boot noise. Unless you were holding down the Z button, in which case.
Really? Yep. That's a thing?
Yeah. That was one of the GameCube secrets.
Oh.
Or hold Z on four controllers.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Oh, that's because you didn't have any friends.
Cool.
So, the sixth generation, the PlayStation 2, the Xbox, the GameCube, and the Dreamcast.
Mm-hmm. It is a very, very strong generation.
This was the first time I actually had a full-time job as a student in high school. I took my very first paycheck and went out and bought an Xbox. Hmm. And I felt so accomplished. I was like, I worked for 2 weeks straight. I have this money in my hand, and now I can
barely afford $300.
Yeah, I don't have to go tell my parents I'm doing this. I'm just going to go buy this and hook it up in my room.
Yeah, this was the generation that, like, in my fall to the dark side of being a fanboy, like, putting my PS1 in the closet was me slaying the younglings, and me formally going dark was the launch of the GameCube, where I specifically remember going on to the GameFAQ's Xbox forum and explaining that eventually Microsoft was just going to release a keyboard and mouse peripheral because it was just a dumbed-down PC.
GameCube had such a good launch, though. They had the Rogue Squadron, which we live-streamed.
Hell yeah.
Rogue Squadron and...
And Smash Brothers Melee.
No.
It was a launch window.
It was
launch
like three window. Weeks later.
Okay. Well,
but
close enough.
It had Luigi's Mansion, which didn't have a ton of replay value, but that game was awesome. A
lot of fun. Yeah, and Pikmin.
Yeah. And it was also a launch window
as well. Yes.
You play the Halo 1 music?
Well, yeah, so then I just ignored Halo and the Xbox. I was like, why would I need an X Xbox, more like X sucks.
Oh, I'm yeah. gonna made by micro money sign.
Yeah, money sign. Yeah, I'm not giving. What's the guy who owns Microsoft? I forget his
Bill
name.
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates. Yeah, I'm not giving Bill Gates any more money. And I was just like, why don't people know how awesome Luigi is? And then Luigi Mansion is. And then, of course, one of my friends gets an Xbox, and he's like, all right, let's do a four-player thing. It was a guy I used to play GoldenEye and Perfect Dark with all the time. And then we'd do a split-screen match in Halo. I'm like, yeah, this is the best.
I mean, you may know me as a stubborn douchebag, and that has been something that's been throughout my life. So my friend got an Xbox, and I got a GameCube. And I was a huge PC gamer at the time also. Mm-hmm. So I was just good at shooters. So I would go over to my friend's house, play four-player.
With a mouse and keyboard.
No, go over to my friend's house when he got an Xbox, shit-talk the Xbox, shit-talk Halo,
decimate
and destroy them. And it made them so angry because it was just like, this game's for babies. Anybody could play this. And I'm just like, boom, oh, plasma grenade, just destroying them in it.
I did something very similar, but I hadn't gotten my own Xbox yet. My buddy Corey was the first one of us to get an Xbox. We actually we could buy Halo before the system even came out. And we were following it, you know, watching that, like, awesome trailer. So we went out and bought Halo in stores, took it to, I want to say, Walmart, maybe, who had an Xbox in a kiosk.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to one of the guys. He opened up the kiosk, put in Halo for us, and we sat in that Walmart and played Halo well before release for like 7 hours. And people were like coming around and watching. They're like, how are you doing this? This console's not even out yet.
And, you're like, we are the best.
Yeah.
And the LAN parties we felt
so cool.
My friends and I used to make just like LAN parties. One of our friends, his parents would go away for the weekend. We'd take over the living room.
Yeah.
And each, like, there was like six of us, but like, four of us brought like these big
TVs.
Ass CRT
yeah.
TVs
yeah.
and loaded up my dad's van with them and like drove over to my friend's house. We each had an Xbox, brought all our controllers.
Yeah,
we had
but
this monster
Henry,
party.
Time splitters, right?
Yes.
I remember you could throw any Xbox thing at me, and I will tell you what the GameCube fanboy in that era would have said to that. Because Time Splitters is a better game. You know, it's actually made by the people that made GoldenEye, and there's even bot support. So even if your fourth friend isn't there, you can do that because that's a better experience.
Well,
anyway.
Andy would say, like, and also, I bet you like the library a lot in Halo. Metroid Prime is a way better first person shooter.
Yeah, good luck aiming with the
game.
GameCube C stick.
Enjoying, I hope you enjoy the repeating the same level six times at the end of Halo because Bungie's level design is dumb.
Whatever.
But
wasn't it have Xbox Live? Oh, good online multiplayer. Oh wait, Halo didn't launch with that.
Meanwhile,
I was such a fanboy.
Yeah, you.
Meanwhile,
were.
The PlayStation
my
2.
My blood's boiling
over
here.
I'm not even messing with you. I was the hardest of the hardcore fanboys back then.
But then, meanwhile, the PlayStation 2 is just like the king. While those two just fought over that stuff, PlayStation 2 got everything. And it also it feels so weird to think now that PlayStation 2 just had exclusives for no reason. They were just like, well, PlayStation 2 is just the biggest thing, so we're only going to make GTA 3 for that. We'll only make Final Fantasy X for that, DMC.
Yeah, but man, wait until
stuff.
The Capcom 5 hit the GameCube.
Yes.
PN03 is going to be the best. It's essentially like Halo, except you tumble around as a ballerina.
Yeah.
This was also the generation when me and like six or seven of my buddies worked at the movie theater. So we would
AMC?
Wait.
AMC?
No, it was a family-run company called The Movie Experience.
Huh.
Ooh.
In Southern California. I still think there's maybe seven or eight of them. But anyways, we would wait until the last movie was over, which is usually around midnight. And then we would put one Xbox in one movie theater and do that with four Xboxes. So each Xbox was hooked up to the projection system, the theater sound system. And so four guys would sit in one, and we would connect all of the Xboxes to each theater.
Wow.
So we had 16 guys, four in each theater, playing on the movie
you
screen.
You each had a 500-inch screen.
Yes. And it was... And we probably did that, like, 40 times.
Wow.
It was... it was the time where, like, we didn't have girlfriends. We would do this all night.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was insane.
Whatever.
It was stellar.
Just be
But then we graduated from Blurry. That to... Yeah.
Going back and looking at it, you'd probably be like, oh my God.
We started watching trilogies, like our favorite trilogies, starting at midnight and like leaving at 7 a.m.
Nice.
So we'd watch like the original Star Wars trilogy, Indiana Jones, and like the next month we'd watch... I don't know, Back to the Future, like, all night.
Watching movies on your Xbox sounds fun, but the GameCube doesn't need one. You already have a DVD player, and plus, they make you go to the store and buy that dumb remote. Why can't you just use the controller?
I'm going to strangle you with
dude, I'm so ready for sixth-generation console wars to come back. All I want to do is complain about that stupid big controller. Why'd they make it so big and dumb? Yeah, the GameCube controller may look purple, but at least it's not bigger than human hands.
You had small baby hands, didn't you?
No, I had normal human hands, unlike
not
you.
Not man-sized
with your,
hands?
Yeah, well, no made for...
Hands.
Made for. Also,
hands.
Dude, it's so good when you're going to your friend's house. You just use that. All you have to do is just pick up the GameCube by its convenient handle.
Yeah.
Bring it over to your friend's house. Oh, you have a hard drive in there? That's cool. I have a memory card, so when I go over to my friend with Animal Crossing, I can just bring it. Every GameCube game has a slot in it where you can put the GameCube memory card anyway so you don't lose it.
Loser. Physically making me mad now, Coop.
I'm so happy.
It was nuts that the Xbox
Fanboy
had a...
Coop is the worst character of all time.
The Xbox... Well, Fanboy Coop sounds bad, but if you actually knew Fanboy Henry, you'd see that was a worse character.
Oh,
Fanboy Coop's actually really cool.
The Xbox had a hard drive. That was also pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Like, not needing
yeah, but then it fills up and you
shot
upgrade it. I can just go buy another memory card, 51, or I can buy an off-brand memory card, 500. It's only like $20.
All right. The worst.
Moving on.
What? You don't like Fanboy Coop? It's
no,
my new character.
I hate Fanboy Coop. Please, we need art of Fanboy Coop.
It's just a picture of me. There's no art needed. Oh, God. Fanboy Coop is great because Fanboy Coop is me. So that's it for the top 7 best console generations. We will be right back with the second segment.
Engage.
Welcome to the second segment of Radio Radar episode 63. Let's jump into news. Biggest story, I'd say, is the Sony event that's going to be next week. Henry, what do you expect to hear from that?
Well, I think, it's do or die time. And that means they need to drink Mountain Dew or die. But it's, it's the day before the thing comes out. Traditionally, they would wait. You think, they'll wait till next E3 to talk about what their big stuff is. But when they've got the Xbox One the very next week, they need people thinking about Uncharted 4 now.
I have a guess for Uncharted 4's name, and I'm really excited for it.
Yeah.
Uncharted 4, Drake's Gamble.
That's pretty good.
That's my guess.
That's pretty good.
I think the timing really fits, especially for Uncharted 4 or a new Uncharted. It might not be Uncharted 4 because Uncharted 3 was 2 years ago now.
Actually, yeah, it came out in 2011.
First shown in 2010. Meanwhile, Last of Us was first shown in 2011 at the Spike Awards.
Yep.
And so it's been so long since Uncharted. Like, I kind of want to see Nathan Drake again.
Yep,
you know?
and Uncharted, the Naughty Dog is a two-game studio at this point.
Yeah.
They made, half of The Last of Us was made while they were working on Uncharted 3. So that developer has the bandwidth to create two games, which means, they probably ramped up and took a bunch of people during The Last of Us's development time. But that game has probably, the next Uncharted, which is obviously a next-gen game, has been in development for at least... At this point, 2 years.
Yeah, yeah,
and releasing next year—that's a full 3-year cycle. That's great.
Yeah. And I think with Sony too, like when you think about all the exclusives they have, almost all the Sony ones are just launch games. Like they've successfully not even talked about their post-launch games in 2014 games. So they need. They've been saving them for an event just like this. I figured they'd wait till the Spike TV Awards or the Spike.
Yeah, they want to own their message. That's been very clear leading up to this. Microsoft kind of let their message get muddled. Sony hasn't fallen into that, and now they're saying there's going to be a lot of teases for games for 2014 and beyond. And 2014 and beyond actually gets me excited because Nintendo recently has done this thing, and they've kind of gone back on it, where they're like, we're only showing you games you'll be able to play within the next, like, 6 to 8 months. But then they end up delaying shit so much that it's almost a meaningless thing. But I like that Sony is like, nah, fuck that. We're giving you a look at 2015's holiday. Like, you want right now, it's like, if I was to try to tell you what's coming out in 2014, I couldn't really give you anything.
It's going to be hard to make that 100 list.
Oh, it's going to be hell.
Yeah, but, well, it'll be easier after this event, though.
And the Spike VGA. Oh, man, the Spike VGAs are going to be lousy with next-gen reveals.
Yes, they
last were. Year's Spike VGAs kind of... Last year's Spike VGAs kind of sucked because it was a lot... They couldn't do any next-gen thing because next-gen didn't officially exist at that point.
Also, my wife was all angry at me because we forgot to pick her up at the BART station when we went to watch them.
Oh, I didn't get that feeling from her that she was pissed off.
There was a little bit of piss-offness.
Now I realize, and I understand what some of the silence and the...
Standoffishness.
The standoffishness.
Yeah, it was a rough VGAs for me.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, this year is probably going to be pretty good.
I watched it with Coop.
Do you think they're going to talk about a new Star Wars?
Oh, God, no. Not at the Sony event.
Sony's not that close with EA.
You said 2000.
Oh, the VGA. I'm sorry. The VGAs probably. I feel like they could totally. That's a VGA kind of reveal.
Yeah, that's.
For 2015 stuff.
Even 2014 stuff. VGAs, I mean.
Really? Think a new Star
Wars. They announced stuff that's 2 years out. They announced Arkham City there 2 years before it came out. Same with Last of Us. Like, they announced stuff early there.
It also depends on, like, how big is DICE at this point? And how many employees did EA throw to DICE when they said, hey, you're also making a Star Wars game?
Right. DICE is, I was saying, like, for Visceral or the other, slew of companies that are making, secret Star Wars games right now.
Does that, you have such a glimmer in your eye when you talk about that, and now it's infectious.
We're just waiting. Like, every week we're coming up for that. That
Star Wars
show.
Battlefront Weekly.
Did you have you been reading all the reports about the casting of the Star? Essentially, I love the idea that every single actor and actress in Hollywood has auditioned. I feel like they're well, we could just audition the people we want, or we could let everyone audition so there are no leaks. Like every leak so far has been this person auditioned, and so did everyone else.
It's stuff like that is all slowly leaking out for Jurassic World. It's like. People are now accepting roles for Jurassic World.
That little kid from Iron Man 3 is in it.
Yeah, he'll be in it.
Ugh.
He was a good character.
Josh Brolin.
Yeah, he was okay. No, I just
think about how bad little kids can be in movies and how not bad he was.
Well, he was also not bad because they had this smart writing to have Tony kind of hate him or be like, ooh, sorry about your dad, boo-hoo.
He was really rude to him.
That was great. It would have been too cutesy if he was like, oh, I'm sorry, kid. That wouldn't have been Tony.
The dialogue was all the kid being like, hey, you know how there's stuff about your dad and my dad that's similar? And he's just like, I don't have time for this.
Yeah,
later.
Yeah,
so I believe they're going to announce that child is going to be the star of young Nathan Drake.
one more thing on the Sony thing. Yeah, just imagine, they announce a new Sony. They have all these things the day before. So anybody who is sitting on the fence about it, they can finally go, well, I know there's an Uncharted or a new God of War or whatever for it. And
last-minute sales.
Yeah, they'll get some last-minute sales. I do wonder if Last Guardian will be there. That's the big... question.
I bet you it is, and I bet you it's a teaser trailer that tells us nothing except for the fact that it's a PS4 title. You'll see remember that first trailer where you see the chain in a cave?
Yeah.
You just see that chain, but it's it's new.
I went back.
It's a next gen
more
chain.
Links.
Yeah. I went back and looked at the old screenshots of The Last Guardian, which were amazing when they were released. It's showing their age now. It's kind of depressing.
Well, it was 10,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Give or take.
4 years.
Now there's voxels.
There are voxels. So many voxels. what do you think the next God of War is going to take place?
I haven't played any of them, so don't ask me.
You think they're going to stick with Greece?
I don't know.
I want current day, like you were saying.
Yeah, I want modern day.
Egypt.
That's a rumor. There's rumor Iranian mythology.
Ra,
yeah.
Anubis.
Especially when Darksiders is dead, so they can technically, it would be stealing Darksiders' thunder, but they won't have any competition for that.
I'm just imagining a next-gen God of War that is taking place in ruined cities. But not after the apocalypse, Darksiders, during the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. He is trying to prevent it for some reason, maybe because he's
but
still...
But it's already started.
It's really already angry. Started. Maybe it's just...
he's angry.
Imagine he loses his power if there is no more war, and if humanity is wiped out, there will be no more war. So it's a selfish reason, but he's still trying to stop it. And you're still, like, cutting up humans that are just fleeing in the streets. Dude.
Yeesh.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
So that's the Sony event. We'll be able to talk about it on next week's show because it'll be...
we'll all know.
Yeah, we'll all know.
God, we're going to be so exhausted next week's show.
Metal Gear 5, Metal Gear Solid 5, Ground Zeroes, is coming out in spring of 2014.
Is it really Zeroes?
Zeroes.
Yes.
That's stupid.
It's going to be $20 on current gen and $30 on next gen, and it is just essentially the prologue.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like DLC.
It's pre-release DLC.
It's like what they did before Dead Rising.
Dead Rising 2, Case Zero.
Yeah. It's also like Gran Turismo had just a straight-up prologue where they're like, the final game will have 50 trillion cars and 9 tracks.
Well, the prologue
and this one
had like 50 cars or something.
Yeah, it still had more cars than you'd ever need. So, yeah.
I like this for a couple of reasons. One, even up, I feel like it was just a month ago Ryan saw that game, and when they asked, like, so is Ground Zeroes a separate game or isn't it? They're like, it's part of the, it is a prologue, but it's also part of the Metal Gear 5 story, and so, and like, they wouldn't say. So now they finally committed, like, yes, it is a separate thing you will purchase.
Which it's weird, because it's like, what, was all the song and dance really worth it?
I feel like with, I wonder if it was Kojima just wanting, he just wants one game. Like, he wants to just release one game once, and I can see Konami's like, no, this is a very expensive title. We need to separate.
So much money.
We got to get money now for this thing that's maybe 20% the size of real Metal Gear 5.
I imagine it being like the first part of Metal Gear Solid 2 where you're playing as Snake. And then it goes to Raiden.
Yeah, well, see, they were giving away those demos. Well, they weren't giving away those demos before, but they used those before. They used those demos to sell games like Zone of the Enders. But now it's just packed, like they're selling you the demo itself, you know?
Yeah, remember when Crackdown came with Halo?
Yes.
Or Halo came with Crackdown. Imagine if they would have just been like, hey, Halo beta, $15? Shrug.
Yeah, people would have just paid it.
I'd
pay $5 for it.
Don't say it too loud.
$10
They're listening. You're now saying you're that. Well, that's Steam Early Access.
I'd pay $60.
Steam Early Access. Take all of my money.
Yes.
Well, ruin my family and all of my friends' value. Just bankrupt the country.
Well, especially because I feel like Metal Gear 5, the real one, Phantom Pain, at the earliest will be out like March 2015. And so I kind of want to experience next gen Metal Gear now.
And like, you'll be able to in like 5 months. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Exciting.
Yeah. It's worth it for $30. Yeah.
One zeros.
Just well, $30. All right. So now see Ground Zeroes. It's a pun as Kojima loves because Ground Zeroes would be G and then the letter or the number zero, which could also be read as the letter O. So G-O, go is 5 in Japanese.
My God. I would have never gotten there.
No one would have. That's why it's Kojima. And the last big story of the week, Blockbuster is closing all of its remaining stores in America.
Yep.
And its kiosks?
Yes.
They sold off their kiosks a while ago.
Blockbuster Express?
Yeah. That Blockbuster, a lot of people, when this happened, they thought, I thought Blockbuster was dead already. Like, nobody, few people even see a Blockbuster anywhere anymore.
I know they were slowly closing them, but I thought that ended like a year ago.
Well, in 2010, they went bankrupt, but they were sold to Dish Network. And Dish Network just really wanted a brand. They wanted their streaming service to be called Blockbuster or something or other, or they had like the Blockbuster channel.
Right.
But they still kept some corporate stores open, but they had slowly been closing them. I know my local Blockbuster closed in November last year, the one that was in Berkeley.
Did you pillage it?
It had been pillaged by the time I even realized it.
Yeah.
The one in my hometown closed maybe 6 years ago and replaced with a Panera Bread.
Oh, good.
I never ate in it because I was so sad.
So many cheap DVDs.
Well, I know. I got a shitload of awesome Blu-rays when a Blockbuster closed by my old place.
Well, it's just strange how quickly it changed, or feels like it changed so quickly, like up until 2007, even, I feel like it was just normal to be, let's go see a movie. Okay, I'll go to Blockbuster. Let's find a DVD.
There was a Blockbuster at the bottom of my house in 2009, I want to say.
The bottom of your house?
Sorry, the bottom of the hill on the bottom of the hill
His family opened up a Blockbuster in his house. That's just what he's getting at.
He had a 100-story house.
He had a kiosk out there.
No. I would drive down. I think it was like $20 a month, and I could get.
Oh yeah, the game pass.
It was game and
games and movies.
It was just like a rental pass, one rental a week,
pretty much. So I would walk down there. I would hand in a movie, get a game, play the game, take the game back, get another movie, like unlimited for like $25 a month.
There was this.
It was awesome. I played through a shit ton of games that I would have never.
What generation was that?
This was for my 360.
Oh, okay. Yeah. During the GameCube generation, I won a pair of Weezer tickets on a radio station, but I didn't have a car, so I couldn't go pick them up. And they were like, we'll just send you a gift bag of random shit from around the office. And one of the things was a 26-week free rental thing from Blockbuster.
Wow.
And I got it in, like, May, so right before the summer break.
Wow.
And I just... Every few days, I would just go back and rent a new game or a movie that I would just burn and never watch. I burnt like 100 illegal movies and never watched any of them and then lost the case. But I kept getting just new games. That was a great deal.
This is when I was unemployed, too. So I went there maybe once a day.
Wow.
Yeah, when I first moved to Berkeley, the one that – it was like on the corner of where I lived. And so – I did get a movie pass, too, when I was unemployed and was just like, all right, time to watch another one. Just a movie a day almost.
If I had
a passing
interest in it, I would check it out. I was at the bottom of the barrel by then.
And speaking of generations, I did work at Blockbuster. Though I recently had like a worry about how much I can even say because they made you sign these things of like, you can never talk about Blockbuster, like type of thing.
Who's going to sue you now?
Yeah,
Dish Network?
Who will exist to sue me? But... I probably shouldn't
spill all your secrets, Henry.
Well,
they won't hear this.
This is a safe place.
So I did work there. I left a little after the 360 began, and so I was there when the changeover happened. And like we bought I put the first 360 games on the shelf at our place, which was Gun. Like the weirdest thing was they must have had some deal with Activision or something, because it was the night it launched, and instead of being in a launch line. Because I chose not to get a 360 at launch. Mm-hmm. I didn't get one until 2007, actually.
Because you were mad about them doing the last-minute bait and switch with the pricing?
It was just so hard to get one.
I was.
And the hard drives are stupid.
No, seriously, they announced the pricing for it, like, as soon as they announced it, at, like, $300 or whatever it was. Uh-huh. And then, like, 3 months before launch, and just corrections and... people listening for corrections, now's your time because I'm probably getting the dates wrong. But like a few months before release, they're like, oh, that's the one that doesn't come with a hard drive. The other one's $50 more. And I got so pissed and I went to GameStop and canceled my pre-order.
You know who wouldn't have done that to you? GameCube, because blah, 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 blah.
I already had a Wii, I was already planning on getting one, so it didn't really matter.
But so then
Nintendo was even without HD graphics, Nintendo was able to do so much more with style than Microsoft and Sony were able to do with all the HD graphics. And plus, when the systems came out, it was only like 20% of Americans even had access to 3D or HD TVs, and it wasn't in the kids' rooms anyway.
All of my driving buddies just drove themselves off the road right then.
You'd normally get in like 4 copies, maybe 12 copies on PS2 of a game that was big. But for Gun, we got like 70, I'd say 70 total copies of Gun. Like 40 for PS2, 20 for for Xbox, and then another 20 for 360, and then 5 for GameCube. Like our GameCube area was it was like nothing. And I would tell people people who are going to rent stuff, they're like, I'm looking for a really cool game. What should I get? I'm like, Resident Evil 4 is awesome. You will love it. They're like, on the GameCube? No, thank you. Like,
well, the best version of that game came out on the GameCube.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm not even doing a fanboy thing. It was just the best version of that game.
I was ready for it, though.
But this was before
it was just
out
proof
on
that
it.
Capcom has more faith in Nintendo than it has in Microsoft and Sony.
But yeah, they wouldn't. No one would listen to me about the GameCube stuff. But it was. I also nobody else at Blockbuster took much care for having the game section in any kind of order. And so just to feel like I was doing something there, I was like, no, I'm in charge of the game section. I'm going to make sure it's perfect. true alphabetical order.
I wish game you worked in my town.
Game section was Henry's baby.
Yeah, it was. It was. But not that anybody else gave a shit. But and we also, one last thing.
I mean, keeping the GameCube section in alphabetical order probably wasn't much of a problem because you only had to move like one game a year.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, even when a big game came out, like when we got Metroid Prime 2, we got two copies of it. And that were never in. Like, people would be running it.
Well, that's because
all
Metroid Prime was
out all the time.
That's because Metroid Prime proved that the GameCube was a better platform for shooters anyway.
Exactly. If only the Philistines who were making me games realized that. And also, I worked there when Halo 2 launched. We got them in early. We rarely ever got games in early there. And it just
I'm
had
just remembering
these...
all these fanboy arguments I used to make. I'm sorry.
And I worked there when GTA San Andreas was re-rated AO because of hot coffee. And because and like that's Blockbuster has a strict no AO games policy. And so I had to take them off the shelf and was working with people who are just like, yeah, I hear you can like they put porn in this game. Like you can just fuck whoever you want. Can you believe that? And I was like, no, not that's not what's in it. I just fell on deaf ears.
For the longest time, up until about
2 days ago,
maybe a couple weeks ago.
It was a couple weeks ago because I remember you're like,
I thought hot coffee was the McDonald's scandal where the old woman spilled hot coffee on herself and got like $1 million in a lawsuit.
That is hot.
You thought that was somehow related to
I don't know why.
There is a documentary on Netflix called Hot Coffee.
Yeah,
and I thought it was the GTA 4 thing, yeah. But it is that McDonald's lawsuit.
I had a good defense for that lady that, like, McDonald's back then kept its coffee insanely hot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Spilling coffee on yourself shouldn't cause third-degree burns or whatever the level of burns yeah. that was caused on that woman. Like, she did deserve to. It was easy to make fun of it on, like, radio morning talk shows, but.
Yeah, well, what kind of stupid person spills coffee on themselves?
What kind
and now
of
they're super rich? Yeah,
what's this stupid country coming to? Nobody takes personal responsibility.
Yeah.
Everybody. Now the fat people who sued McDonald's for making them fat, they were wrong.
Yeah, but,
yeah.
Deliciousness can't be blamed.
Hot mm-hmm. coffee.
Oh, yes, can the McRib?
So that's I still haven't McRib. Had a McRib. Is it good?
It's not good.
I would
but it's
I wouldn't
than
say
most
it's good,
things.
But you should try it when
I know.
It comes out.
It's like this stupid like Shamrock Shake. It's like it's never around, but holy shit, it's here. It's so good.
You ever have a McGriddle?
No.
Oh yeah, those are good too.
I'm very curious seasonal? When it comes to my disgusting food.
Oh. they I don't think they have
are
them
they
available
all the time?
Anymore.
No, man, they had McGriddles in Japan. Like,
they also had rabbit burgers in Japan.
That was
rabbit burgers.
It was actually just a burger with an egg in it.
That was my post-hangover food.
They didn't have
McGriddles.
They don't have biscuit sandwiches in Japan, but McGriddles they got. Oh, I don't think they call
lousy
them McGriddles.
With McGriddles. McGriddles.
I recently, when Andy Hardup was here from the UK, and Sophie and I were the only ones who bothered to eat dinner with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, keep it up.
I think Cooper had a good excuse that night. Nobody else did.
Keep it up.
But anyway, so we went out to dinner someplace, and I got like chicken fried steak, and it had biscuits there, and I was like, ah, man, you know, a place in San Francisco makes good biscuits, so these are pretty good. And then Andy was like, biscuit. You know, that means a different thing. I was like, yeah. Same with like the Simon this week.
Yeah, he was
totally
like,
he
fresh biscuits, and I was like, I don't want a biscuit, right? Oh, those are sugar cookies.
Well, he's not going to conform to and change what he's going to say.
People have no idea who we're talking about.
He's a guy from
our company.
Another British person. British person who, even though he was in America, refused to call them cookies. He still called them biscuits.
Confused the hell out of us.
Mm-hmm.
On to previews. I got a chance to see a bunch of Xbox One games this past week. I'm going to talk about two of them real quick.
Do it.
First one's Rise, Son of Rome.
Exciting.
It is not great looking, but it's significantly better than I expected. Or it's not in
it's
terms of how
looking.
It is great looking.
Yeah.
It is more fun than I expected.
More fun than you when you originally played it.
Yes.
Well,
so,
the initial impressions were kind of
terrible. Yeah, so it ends up playing kind of like a poor man's Batman or Assassin's Creed, where you kind of hack and slash enemies and then hit a block button at the right time to deflect blows. But it was fun. I don't want to say too much about it just because I'm still skeptical about whether or not it's going to actually be any good.
Mm-hmm.
But the demo I played was entertaining, and that's much more than I expected.
Yeah.
Dead Rising 3, on the other hand, was super fun.
Yeah.
I can't wait to play that.
Like, yeah. Getting into a car, driving full speed through 300 really well-rendered zombies that just get broken into pieces and fly around, like, crafting items on the fly, crafting, like, a mini nuke, and or, like, a giant bomb and just, like, throwing it into a bunch of enemies, and it just... So cool looking.
With the scenario you're describing, I'm imagining it just like frame rate drops.
Nothing. It is the cleanest. Like, that's one thing I'll say. I've played a bunch of next gen games by now. Most of us have played some.
Yeah.
That we can talk about. Yeah. And you'll be amazed at how well everything runs. The frame rates are pretty stable. When you hit the button to go to a UI thing, it's instant. When you hit the button to go back, it's instant. Everything moves so quickly.
Hmm. The snap features and all of that.
I'm excited to try those out.
I am too.
I really want to, just out of pure curiosity's sake, I do want to run like my Wii U through the Xbox One just to have it all on the same screen. It sounds like fun. But yeah, we're going to be able to have a lot more commentary on all those games in the coming weeks. But that's it for the second segment.
We're not going to talk.
Killer Instinct?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the paper, but Lucas is busy with some other stuff. He said that it was very fun and not a button masher, and he's super pumped for it.
He also muttered something about snitches and arses and
freaking him in his arsehole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
He says that a lot.
He does. He goes, freak me in the arse. Freak me in the freak hole is a new one.
Ooh, I like that one.
Oh, God.
That's one of my new faves.
So recently, today, I gave him shit for his saying one of the hot tamale. He goes, hot tamale.
Hot tamale.
And he goes, hot tamale. And I go, amazing.
Remember my plan from a while ago? I told Greg my plan.
Yeah,
I was going to.
It didn't work.
It did. I stopped trying. So with Lucas, and this is inside baseball, but if you ever meet Lucas, you're going to notice we're going to do this on the podcast more, too, but he doesn't listen to the podcast, so there's no way he's going to hear this. If you want to get Lucas to stop saying a dumb phrase, use it incorrectly and get it wrong a lot, and he'll just stop. So for a long time, because he just randomly yells, hot tamale, I'm sweating. And I would just, I would look at Greg every time and be like, hot tamale, that's awesome. And just keep getting it wrong, and
stop perspirating.
Yeah, he'll just slow down in how much he uses it. I stopped doing it maybe 2 weeks ago, and now he's full-fledged back on the hot tamale bandwagon.
But now Henry is shaming him into not using it.
I realize now, but you would also say it kind of slow, like hot tamale. really hot.
It would make him really upset. It makes him upset, but he doesn't want to say it.
Yeah.
I just like how much Lucas fears the hen rage.
He really does.
Hen rage is rough.
Well, I still feel bad about it.
It's not something you want to go through.
I still feel bad shouting shut up at him that time.
Well, shout it.
All right.
You were standing right behind him, so it
sounded loud. We've discussed this before, but the thing about Lucas's fake curse words is we'll be in the office, and he'll say, like, ugh. That woman was such a snitch. And it's like, you're still loudly calling her a bitch. Like, use whatever word you want. You're screaming. And I think there's been some times where, like, he'll kind of look over and Tom will be looking at him like, nope, not the time for that.
Yeah, we can't use freak me in the freak hole.
And expect no repercussions.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to jump into the third segment. Welcome back to the final segment of Radio Radar. Let's jump right into reviews. Lucas reviewed the regular show game, and Lucas,
didn't like it.
How was it?
It freaked me in the freak hole. It was so good. Arse. Shiz. I loved it. I have to leave now.
All right.
That was the worst Lucas impression I could have ever given.
Yeah, he said it wasn't very good. That's all you need to know.
We all do Lucas impressions better than that.
Oh, I know. I felt bad halfway through it. Like, this isn't Lucas at all.
I didn't like regular show.
That's Tom. Lucas he always starts everything with what does he start every sentence with?
So.
It's like Tom's The Thing About, but he says.
I was thinking.
Have you heard of... Oh, no, it's called.
It's called, yeah.
It's called Killer Instinct. Ever heard of it? It's called Killer Instinct.
We all miss Lucas and wish he could be here with us right now.
I
we
can't
should
wait
probably.
To see him soon.
I don't miss him.
Wow.
The thing about Lucas.
Let's talk about Call of Duty Ghosties.
Oh, Call of Duty Ghosts. So I went and played this on the PS4, next gen, and it looks pretty sweet. And if you've played Call of Duty before, you've basically played Call of Duty Ghosts.
Is it a ghost of its former self? Should people start giving up the ghost on a good Call of Duty?
Yes, yes, we've all
nobody heard of that. I was so pissed how few people had heard of the phrase.
Me, you, and Tom knew that phrase, giving up the ghost.
I
proving
have never
we're
heard
the most well read.
Absolutely,
I guess so. But anyways, so the single player was kind of subpar. Like Coop, you'd had mentioned before that you didn't really like Black Ops 2.
Black Ops 2 was the first Call of Duty in the post-Modern Warfare world that I didn't finish the single player of, because it's like, I want dumb Michael Bay moments.
My set pieces?
Let me pop flares, and let me essentially reenact random scenes from Michael Bay movies, which is essentially what they were. And then Black Ops 2 was like, get on this horse, ride around. It's like,
yeah, I mean, in Ghosts, there's definitely a lot more of those than Black Ops 2. I mean, like, the first level, you're floating around in space blowing a nuclear missile launcher thing up.
Spoiler alert. God.
Well, and also, Greg should want to play this just to see the destruction of San Diego, right?
Yeah, and...
What?
Well, the area between San Diego and L.A. gets, like, completely annihilated. I don't really know what's down there,
they missed.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up majorly in Temecula, California.
Is that where it is?
Well, I don't know if that's where the new kits, because I haven't played the game yet, but it is right between L.A. and San Diego.
That's no man's land.
It's like ghosts. 45 minutes in both directions.
Your house is just a crater now.
Hold on, I need to start playing the soundtrack of it. The soundtrack of Call of Duty Ghosts.
I mean, that's almost the soundtrack of Battlefield 4.
Yeah.
Those explosions would have been bigger in Battlefield 4.
But anyway.
Yeah, wait, yeah. Here's how it works in Ghosts. Here's Call of Duty. Or Battlefield. I don't know. Sorry. I'm going to sleep.
Okay. Well,
see yourself.
Anyways, so the story, you're not doing Modern Warfare stuff anymore. So Price is gone, Soap is gone. You're these two new characters. You play as Logan and
Decker. Say his name.
Hesh is his brother who you follow around.
And Monster
Hesh. And the dog is there, and the dog's not very important. He just kind of bites on people every once in a while, and you control him a few levels. And it's neat, but...
Is it like first person controlling the dog?
Yeah, he has like a camera on his back, so you bust out your little iPad thingy, and this camera pops up in the back of the dog's little, like, vest thingy, and you just go around and bite people in the neck for, like, one or two missions, in the middle of one or two missions. But that's as far as that goes. So there's, like, these ghost guys who are supposed to be the ultimate badasses of the future war, and you meet with them, and you go and try to kill this Federation thing. It's really just, like, this story that doesn't need to happen, and nothing really even happens, and the main villain isn't very interesting, like, at all. He's just a guy that kills people.
How about the multiplayer, though?
The multiplayer is just as good as any other multiplayer in the series. It's probably one of the better ones just because of the map design. The maps are great. I mean, they're huge, wide open. You could do...
Fully destructible.
There's not as much levolution as you'd expect in, like, Battlefield 4. Actually, some of it's kind of tacky, like, if you compare them side by side.
I'm glad to hear that opened up more, because I normally equate, when I think of a Call of Duty multiplayer map, I think of, like, a closet.
Yeah.
Living for 5 seconds.
Yeah, they've really opened up a lot more. There's this one level where you're, like, around this medieval castle in modern day, of course, but, like, it's just this wide open field almost, and there's a big castle in the background, and it's great for sniping. All the maps are really just built for, like, all the different classes to work within each other, so you don't have to have, like, a class for one specific map. And then there's the soldier customization, which is a lot bigger and more robust, and sometimes at a fault where, like, when I first started, I didn't really know where to go, because there's, like, double the amount of perks available than Modern Warfare 3 and Black Ops 2, and there's just so many things to purchase, and you only earn so many squad points, which is the currency that you use to buy all these things. So it's like, you kind of need to know what you want to do with it. Otherwise, you're just kind of spreading yourself too thin, and it'll end up sucking. But then there's the aliens mode, which is the Treyarch's, like, kind of like Treyarch zombies.
Right. What's it called? It's like
Extinction.
Extinction.
Yeah, so this is kind of like, it's smaller than zombies. It's probably, you'll probably just have just about as much fun as you had with the like original zombie mode in World at War, just because it's smaller than the bigger Black Ops 2 one. So there's only one level. You could level up your characters and like create classes out of them, and you know, you'll just run around, strategize with your friends, and have fun that way.
Those alien dogs look a lot like the Halo 4 Promethean dogs.
Yeah, and just
and they're glowing orange in certain parts of their body where if you shoot them, they'll blow up.
Yeah, they glow orange like the and red and stuff. Yeah, there's actual exploding ones, and there's ones that are. They're called scorpions, and they shoot a bunch of like green goo at you. And if you
classic
stay in it,
alien
yeah.
stuff,
yeah, alien stuff. But they're not as cool as shooting zombies. Like it doesn't have that same novelty. Mm.
It all sounds like kind of a downgrade from Black Ops.
It kind of feels like it, just because Black Ops, they really tried to do something different with their campaign, with the choices and stuff. They took out some of the set pieces, but that at least made it a little more interesting in terms of storytelling. And this one was kind of just, you know, going by the Israel by the numbers.
It was a Call of Duty game.
Yeah, but multiplayer is still really great, and that's usually what I go for with a Call of Duty. And everything's solid, controls are solid, maps are excellent, customization is great. It's still a really, I know I'm kind of talking down on it a little bit, but like, it's still a really great game.
It's like, hard not to talk down when it's just like, it's really good, but I am disappointed that it's not really, really, really good.
Right. The disappointments are from the developers not taking it a step forward.
Right.
Like, it's not going anywhere. It's Call of Duty, what you
expect.
It's
treading water, but it hasn't fallen back any.
No. Exactly.
What score do you give it?
I give it a 4 out of 5.
Awesome, and you can check out videos and stuff relating to that on the website. So let's question of the week it up after I go open a thing. We're going to little hiatus on just for a week or two on the
game deals.
Take my advice.
I jumped the gun.
Yeah, we don't have any. We'll do some when we get closer to Black Friday.
We did catch your comment, though, about corrections.
Yes, and we're going to be doing them better. But before we do anything else, we have to acknowledge one important thing. Who's it with?
Ryan Talzianic. No, I am back for the community segment. And I listened to last week's podcast. It was good stuff.
Yeah. Ryan is significantly better than you at it.
Way better.
It's all right. We'll let you keep going anyway.
Yeah, we're going to need him to re-record that.
For now, we'll let you keep going.
First and foremost, a huge thank you to everybody that came out and supported our Extra Life charity 25-hour live stream event. It was great, and everyone donated, and we raised over $1,200.
I was there eating food. I was eating your food, but I did not. I barely. I think
Henry made a ghost appearance.
Yeah, to talk about a thing I shouldn't
talk about. Ghost rode the stream.
Yeah,
I came on to talk about a thing I shouldn't talk about.
Oh, good. Now, so those of you that were there got a sneak peek.
All I said was I beat a game. I could have beat any.
Nope. Discussion over.
But
thank everyone.
Yeah, thanks everybody. I wasn't there the full 25 hours. I was showing my parents around San Francisco, but I did show up around 11 p.m. and stayed until 8 a.m.
You and I tagged. I went there from about 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. and you came at 11. So I did I did little over the first 12 hours, and you did like the last 12 hours.
Pretty much.
And your wife was playing with a lot.
Yeah,
of people.
She was playing. She played games the whole time, playing League of Legends and Pokemon with people in the community.
Yeah. There was a lot of ridiculous things that happened. We were twerking on
screen.
Some
twerking.
And,
somebody on Twitter got all indignant about like, what is this world coming to? When somebody talked about how awesome it was to watch us twerk, and then I looked at the guy and his profile was just about how he's an otaku brony. And it's like, listen, you can be an otaku brony but don't act like you're above twerking.
Yeah.
If Rainbow Dash twerked, you'd be losing your shit
now. We sang some songs and raised a lot of money, had a good time, but it was really just good practice for our 24-hour live stream, Games Radar's official 24-hour live stream.
Which is also a community. It's that the one we just did was some community stuff. This is a full-blown community 24-hour marathon.
Yes, this is for you guys. December 6th,
all right.
We settle 10 to 10.
10 to 10 or 9 to 9.
A week after Black Friday.
A week after Black Friday. So feel free to join us.
Yes.
It's going to be very exciting. You will hear a lot more about it the closer it gets. But we're trying to get the hype up now because it's going to be great.
Yeah, we're going to be playing multiplayer games. We'll have a stream with four people or three or four people the whole time that's going to cycle out. But we'll also just have, like, you better believe I'm going to be playing Battlefield for at least seven of those hours.
Oh, man, we are all going to be playing Battlefield.
Dude, yeah, right.
So Assassin's Creed 4 multiplayer will be happening.
Uri thing.
It's going to be really good.
Uri thing.
But I guess we can now read the answers from last week's question of the week.
Which I've discovered from reading the comments was actually the same exact question we asked the year before.
Yes. Rod the Master said, I find it funny that you guys asked the exact same question of the week this week that you asked last Halloween at Coop. Hank and Ryan had the same story.
Without realizing it.
Without even realizing it.
What was the story I even told? I don't remember.
Something about being scared.
Okay. Yes. Yep. Yeah, I remember that now.
All right. So what was the most scared you've ever been while playing a game? One of my new favorite names, Recessive Gene Simmons, which is pretty great.
I like that a lot.
While D is the scariest horror game I've played, my scariest gaming experience was Silent Hill 4's Headroom, which is so much less awesome than it sounds. The hospital itself is relatively a milquetoast for Silent Hill, but your only threat being silent, sentient wheelchairs. Then you open a door like any other door, and what's
apropos of nothing?
Apropos of nothing, giant fucking head! The most unsettling thing is how little fanfare there is surrounding this head. No sudden camera shift, no dramatic music shift, no puzzle involving a head. It just hangs there with the sole intention of making you shit your throat. I can still feel its icy gaze.
Was it supposed to be
slit? No, it's shit.
Oh, okay.
Shit your throat. I can still feel its icy gaze judging me for all the times I acted the creep and peeked at my neighbors through the hole in the wall as if saying, how do you like being stared at without your consent? Immediately following this sequence, I flipped on pretty much every light in my house and watched Sabato Gigante.
Sabato Gigante.
Wow, I gave it a shot.
Sabato.
Next, we have Shelby Villain. My scariest moment was in a very non-scary game. I picked up Batman Arkham Asylum and was very stoked to get my fix of Batman beating up people mixed in with the old-school voice acting from Batman the Animated Series, which I loved as a kid. Been playing late into the night and got into the first Scarecrow portion. Freaked the heck out when the Scarecrow first popped out of the body bag and was super jittery for that entire section.
That was a good part.
Yeah, it was great. I think his name is Shelby Villian, as in someone from Shelbyville, the Simpsons area.
You're right. Oh, I've mispronounced almost everybody's name so far. Let's see if I can continue to do that. This is Rod the Master, or Rode the Mustar.
good.
Since I didn't have an answer last year, I'll do so now. In Fear, appropriate title, there was a jump scare that was featured really heavily in the game's trailers involving your character climbing down a ladder in first person. He looks down to mount the ladder, then looks back up at the floor he just descended. The ghost girl figure is standing there when you look up. Because it was in so many previews, I was expecting it and laughed on my way down the ladder. But what I didn't expect was the additional jump scare at the bottom of the ladder. A ghostly man figure appears out of nowhere and whispers something before disappearing. I screamed so freaking loud and jumped so freaking high. Well played, Fear. Well played.
That game had there was a point in that game where like the scary girl just walks towards you, and I used every single bullet I had to shoot at her, and it didn't do anything because it was just like a jump scare. And then like for the rest of the level, I'm like, I don't have any ammo. I used them all on a ghost.
This week's winner is John Dagger with his answer of about a year ago. I was playing The Walking Dead, and I wound up needing to go to the emergency room.
Whoa.
I was playing episode 2. Right after the very intense scene, there's a part where your group is driving down the road in an RV. After drifting off to sleep, Lee is suddenly awoken by Clementine trying to kill him, having turned into a zombie while napping. This sudden scare caused me to yell, slide my chair back, causing my headphone cable to get caught or taut, yanking me out of the chair, hitting my head on the desk, and falling into my open toolbox next to my desk, embedding 3 screws into my left arm.
Ooh.
It turned out that the zombie Clementine thing was a dream, but I was still freaking out. It wasn't because of some kind of jump scare, but because Clementine turning into a zombie was my greatest fear in that game. Now I know to keep my tool case shut for season 2.
Good call.
Holy crap.
So what is he, what should that guy do?
John Dagger or John Dagger?
John Dagar.
John Dagar. There's a Star Wars character. Dash Rendar, that's probably what I'm thinking.
Dash Rendar.
Or Dangar.
Dangar, the bounty hunter, should absolutely contact me, Greg H. at GamesRadar.com, and you will win something from my pool of prizes. Maybe some Band-Aids for your wounds.
Maybe.
Get a tetanus shot.
Yeah, maybe. I'll send you a hypodermic needle filled with...
I hope the people in the emergency room gave him that tetanus shot.
Yeah. I mean, if it came from his toolbox, they were probably clean screws.
Clean screws? What are you talking about?
Everybody just, puts a bunch of hand sanitizer in their toolboxes.
Keep your toolbox away from your desk. What is it doing there?
Especially while playing a scary game.
Yeah. I'm sure there's other sharp things in there that could have killed you.
Yeah. This week we have a special question of the week. It's sponsored. Not sponsored. We've been given presents to give away related to it.
Yes.
Themed for Adventure Time.
Yeah. They were nice enough to send us 3 very awesome watches.
Super awesome.
These are things you're going to want to win, and I'm going to want to send them to you.
Yep, and the question of the week, we're not going full-blown Adventure Time just in case you don't know about the show, but what weapon from video games or cartoons, including Adventure Time, do you wish you could have IRL? I'll go first, and I'll actually go with an Adventure Time one. I want Jake's dad's sword. It's a Joshua's sword. It is a demon blood sword. The show had such a big thing. I mean, for the longest time in the show, Jake just had that yellow sword that you see him in all the cartoons. And then I think season 2, he just goes like, all right, he wants to get a new sword. And he ends up going through a trial dungeon and gets this huge, badass, demonic-looking sword for the rest of the series so far. Nice. And it is super cool, and I wants it.
All right. Close the ogre. I know exactly what you're going to say.
Yeah, but I'll let you have that one.
No, go for
what?
It.
No, that's okay.
We can share.
I'm going to want a lightsaber.
I'll take the Master Sword because it's also a really super awesome sword. But when I'm really, really healthy, I could shoot lasers out when I swing it. So,
yeah, when you wake up in the morning and you crack your neck, boom!
Yeah, it'll motivate me to eat healthy.
Stay healthy.
Yeah, exercise.
I would want one of the Ocarina of Time style hook shot. The hook shot that you shoot and just pull yourself up all the time. It would just rip your arm off, but though this would not be in the reality where that would happen. Also, that's it. That's it.
What? What were you going to say?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Well, no. You go next.
Man, you're... Okay. I was going to say lightsaber, but it seems a little too obvious for me. As much as it might not be a weapon, I would like the arm-mounted grapple hook from Just Cause...
Ooh.
And because you could use it as a weapon.
Why not?
One of my favorite things was grappling a gas container and then grappling that to a human and then shooting the gas container and watching the human fly off.
Have you played Arkham Origins yet?
I have not.
You essentially get one of those.
Do you?
Yeah.
So that's what I want.
All right.
Because it's also in this reality where my arm doesn't get fully dislocated.
You also want to be swole.
Every scenario. Well, yeah, I'm going to get super swole.
With that lightsaber, why would you, if you could have a trusty blaster by your side, I'd say it's
See, here's what, here's what we were talking about, and this is a little insight into a new episode of Star Wars Battlefront Weekly.
Mm-hmm.
A little teaser. Lightsabers? Just think of lightsabers and battlefield-style evolution and destruction.
Ooh.
Imagine just throwing your
possibilities.
I'll let you guys take
That's
care
an
of
upcoming
this
episode you should definitely watch because we come up with so many awesome things we could do with
All right, so in the comments of this, let us know what weapon
from any video game or cartoon you'd like to have IRL and why, and you can enter to win one of three badass watches.
Yeah, very great. Cool.
Oh, hey, I have a couple things I want to say. First, if you really like the Adventure Time, there's a cool show from one of the directors. Well, they had just one cartoon on the internet called Bee and Puppy Cat, which I love. It's like, I was going to say like a girl version of Adventure Time, but that's Fiona and Cake. But
yeah,
it's a really fun little cartoon, and they're doing a Kickstarter to make more episodes of it for the internet. And it's already passed its goal, but hit the stretch goals. Pledge on that. And also, I want to talk up a really cool thing my old buddy Brett Elston did. That he did these for the Mega Man 25th anniversary. There's two tribute albums that they created for Mega Man. One is a collection of OC remixes.
Oh, cool!
Of one song from the first game in each Mega Man series. So one from Mega Man 1, one from X, one from Star Force, one from Battle Network, and on and on and on. And then a second one they did that is all like rock tributes by chiptune and other bands that were inspired by Mega Man, like, say, Proto Man, who are one of my favorites. And so you can find those on iTunes or Amazon. I realize now I forget the names of those albums, but just look up Mega Man 25th Anniversary. You'll find them.
Awesome. So all of that stuff, follow us on Twitter, GR Radio Radar.
Also at Games Radar.
Do them both while you're there.
Yeah.
And
keep our Facebook page.
Review us on iTunes. I saw a lot of new ones, but let's keep them coming, guys.
And we're very proud of everybody that
no reason to stop. So yeah, do all that and answer the question for your chance to win a cool Adventure Time watch, and we will talk to you next week.